Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, so Buzz is standing by in the studio for our Big Tuesday podcast, but before we dive in, I have a request. I need you to open your internet browser and type in patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. And once you're there, choose to either follow the show for free, or better yet, subscribe for as little as $1 a month. Why? Well, because this show is powered by our Patreon page. We can't do this podcast without the immense support of our Patreon community. So why not join that exclusive club? It's the hub for this show where our most loyal listeners hang out, and by the way, where they can enjoy all kinds of bonus content as well. So join us, why don't you? Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Oh, yes. I hate this. It is revolting.
More?
Please.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, March 5, 2024. And this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi there, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 1,141, allegedly. The Biden-Harris administration. 245 days until the 24th presidential election. I'm on Threads and Instagram. My handle is TheBobSeska. I'm still on Twitter. Still active on Twitter. BobSeska_go. Plus Blue Sky Bob Seska. Spoutable Bob Seska. Patreon BobSeskaShow.com. And that guy right there, it's Buzz Burbank with the news. Yeah.
You say Buzz Burbank.
Name's Bond.
You've said it all.
The name's Bond. Can't make Bond. I never get tired of that joke.
Awesome.
I had to steal it. I like it too much. Happy Super Tuesday, everybody.
Yeah.
He's Bob, I'm Buzz, and we don't take no guff from nobody.
Nope. Absolutely not.
Always wanted to say that. Daylight saving time goes into effect this weekend.
Yay!
The only thing I want to spring forward to is Trump in prison.
Same, same.
Mitch McConnell is calling it quits as Senate Minority Leader.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he'll be okay financially because he's got all his money in a shell company.
See, it's because he's a turtle and he's got a shell company.
Hey, does it seem like Trump's in court every day now?
Yes.
Lately, Trump's complaining to judges he can't possibly have time to campaign now that they've started discount hours at Wendy's. Just tied up.
Yeah.
Oprah Winfrey devastated Weight Watchers and Weight Watchers stock prices this week when she resigned from its board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
The company has a plan to win her back, though. They're going to start lacing their food with Ozempic.
That'll work.
Mm-hmm. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled... The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that among those eligible to run for president, insurrectionists and killer clowns. Those are the two... And you know, neither of those surprised me. Now, the court will next decide if absolute immunity also applies to pigs and gravity.
More fire, more music, the Bob Seska Show.
All right, kicking off a brand new week with the great Rocky Mountain Mike and Dr. Ronnie.
He's Trump's friend until the end, Dr. Ronnie. Takes a drink, it kind of helps him think, Dr. Ronnie. Dr. Ronnie. He's the man Trump likes to say, he's gonna privatize the VA. Watch him crash and burn, Dr.
Mr. Ronnie. Well, 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 Trump's feeling fine. He's 6'3", weighs 239. Dr. Ronnie.
Yeah, Rocky Mountain Mike.
All right.
And a classic, an evergreen classic from Rocky Mountain Mike, Rocky MNT, and Mike on Twitter. Go follow him right now for the best in photography and song parodies.
It's what the doctor ordered, you know.
Yeah, that's right. He's losing his shit, Dr. Ronnie. Dr. Yes. Ronnie's going batshit over that Rolling Stone exclusive.
There's a lot of that going around.
Right. So you've heard of Cocaine Bear. Well, the White House during the Trump administration was loaded with speed fascists. Uh-huh. That'll be the worst sequel to Cocaine Bear ever made. Speed fascists. Yeah, wants to spend time, like 2.5 hours watching speed? We spent 4 years watching speed fascists.
We've seen enough.
Yeah, there was a big exclusive in Rolling Stone. We're going to talk about the 14th Amendment, the Supreme Court here in a second. But
yeah,
Buzz, good God, this Rolling Stone exclusive reinforces this report that came out from the Department of Defense, right?
And it expands upon that Department of Defense report and goes deeper. Yeah. It's really a deep dive into the numbers and who did what and when and what the drugs were. And it's shocking even to me, the kinds of drugs that were being dispensed and how easily. Yeah. Literally, it seems anyone in the White House had access to these drugs.
Yeah, yeah. We've got speed flying around. It says here from the Rolling Stone source that the White House at the time was, quote, awash in speed. To me, it sounds like they were like up to their eyeballs in like an ocean of speed. Like they were like a Scrooge McDuck swimming in the coins. And instead of coins, it's just speed. It's loaded with speed.
Up to their kneecaps and caplets.
That's exactly right. Yes. Well, it says here, according to Rolling Stone, modafinil, also known by its brand name, what have I been saying? Provigil. Wasn't the only controlled substance that Trump officials, young and old, routinely acquired. Quote, it was kind of like the Wild West. Things were pretty loose. Whatever someone needs, we were going to fill this, one source with direct knowledge of the matter recalls. The anti-anxiety medication Xanax was also a popular, easy-to-get drug during the Trump years, three sources tell us. Neither Xanax nor its generic, I'm not even going to try to say its generic name.
No.
Do you know it? I would assume you don't. Oh, you don't? That's so disappointing.
I don't know. Let me see the word here. Generic for Xanax.
Yeah.
So I can see the word. Oh.
Alprazolam?
Alprazolam.
There you go.
Alprazolam, yeah. Yes.
Because I assumed you were like a pharmaceutical hobbyist.
Well, I haven't studied Xanax as much as I would have liked.
Well, it's mentioned in the Pentagon report, the use of Xanax, which notes that it is not a comprehensive list of the controlled substances ordered during the Trump years. Two people with direct knowledge of the situation recall senior officials getting Xanax from the White House medical unit and sharing it with colleagues. Which is a gigantic no-no. That's a huge violation of the law.
It is. Originally, this office was set up to take care of the president and his immediate advisors.
Yeah.
And they had drugs like Provigil to make you peppy and Xanax to calm you down for the specific reason of traveling around the world.
Uh-huh.
If a president needed to make an appearance on the other side of the planet and the hours were all screwed up, sometimes it would be helpful to have a little something to keep them awake and then a little something to help them sleep. This is not terribly unusual. This has been going on for decades in administration after administration. Ronnie Jackson, I was interested to read, was the White House doctor when Obama was president. In fact, Obama gave him the job. Obama met the guy, was impressed with this young man, who apparently was sober at the time, and gave him the job. And some of the looseness began then, but nothing compared to the floodgates opening during the Trump administration when literally anyone in the White House could get access to these drugs. It was interesting. On Inauguration Day, everybody was leaving their posts at the White House, and Ronnie Jackson went to Obama and said, I'm staying. Mm-hmm. And Obama was shocked.
Yeah.
And that's when Ronnie Jackson explained to Mr. Obama that he was a Trump supporter. This was the first time, it was Inauguration Day, was the first time that Obama learned that Dr. Ronnie Jackson was a Trump supporter.
Wow.
And then things just, like I said, just went nuts after that. And they were handing out these pills like candy to almost anyone on the staff, not just people who needed to appear on the other side of the world. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the Xanax that was handed out were handed out to people whose jobs were stressful at the Trump White House.
Yeah.
Do you think there were some people at the White House who underwent some stress while he was running the place?
Oh, abso-fucking-lutely. I mean, that's certainly a situation that they had to deal with. And the thing, Buzz, that I keep thinking about, and I hope that there's some future exclusive that comes along that verifies this, but obviously we have to ask the question, what did Trump know and when did he know it? Or better yet, what did Trump take and when did he take it? Because I think it's very clear by anyone observing Donald Trump that he was on something, maybe still is.
Or is suffering the effects of having been on something in the past.
True.
We talked about the effect that steroids could have on him when he nearly died of COVID while he was in office.
Yeah.
And he took massive amounts of steroids that made him feel like Superman at the time.
Yeah.
Because that's what steroids, certain ones especially, tend to do.
Yeah.
And then all the other drugs in the White House and all the allegations of his drug use in the past, be it cocaine or Adderall or whatever else he may have snorted or ingested in one way or another. This is our presidential Elvis here. So we don't know. Some of this damage could be from that, but clearly he's suffering from what a lot of people agree is fluent aphasia.
Yeah.
And that's from some kind of brain damage.
Yeah, yeah. Later in the show, we're going to play a recent clip, a clip from him at a rally over the weekend, which may contain one of his worst short circuits ever.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming up later in the show. And it's one of those things where it was so bad that his whole face distorted as it was happening. We're going to get into that here in just a second. But Dr. Ronnie's reaction to the Rolling Stone piece was typical of the good Dr. Ronnie. He said, Rolling Stone is nothing but a liberal rag used as a propaganda tool for the far-left zealots. They never get tired of lying. They just published another garbage hit piece directed at the Trump administration and based on anonymous sources. Pathetic. Stop lying in your name and your sources. And then, morons! He's great.
And then he slapped a young George Bailey who was deaf in one ear for the rest of his life.
Should we just call Dr. Ronnie Mr. Gower from now on? Oh, my God. Yeah. So that's the situation and something that we can expect if there's a part two, if there's a sequel to this. Speed Fascist 2, the second term.
Now and again, Rolling Stone does some great journalism, and this is another example of that. And it really does expand and expound on that Department of Defense report. So if you want to know the details, all the details, refer you to that Rolling Stone article.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got to dig into the Supreme Court ruling that was handed down yesterday on the 14th Amendment, Section 3. All at once, frustrating and complicated, which are the worst kinds of Supreme Court rulings. And obviously, we assumed from the beginning that the court would rule this way. I wasn't at all surprised when the ruling came down.
We saw this coming. I don't think I expected certain elements of it. I don't think it's terribly complicated. I do think the Supreme Court made it more complicated than it needed to be. And I'm looking forward to really diving into this.
Yeah, obviously, in our forecast of, the fact that the Supreme Court would not uphold the Colorado Supreme Court, we just didn't know what their justification would be. I was thinking maybe they were going to find some loophole in the definition of insurrection, maybe the fact that Donald Trump hadn't been convicted in a criminal court of insurrection as of that point. So I wasn't sure, but it turns out that the justification from the 9-0 Supreme Court was that Section 5 of the 14th Amendment says that Congress has the power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of this article, which is, first of all, misinterpreted by the conservative justices on the court to the point where four, including Amy Coney Barrett, four of the dissenting, sort of non-dissenting justices were like, well, we agree with the conclusion, but we disagree with the justification for the conclusion, which is this Section 5 argument that Alito writes in the decision. And the thing that Section 5 does is call for Congress to enforce the provisions in the entire amendment.
Right.
Sotomayor worried about a patchwork election where red states would ban Democratic candidates, blue states would ban Republican candidates, and there would be mass hysteria, dogs and cats sleeping together, et cetera. Well, yeah, right. So Congress becomes this cooling saucer, as the maxim goes, and is tasked with the job, allegedly, making it a more difficult thing to do. So if it's just states, it's a little easier to bar someone from a ballot. But if it's Congress, it's a higher hurdle to clear. And that was the justification of the...
I'm backing a 24-year-old for president
right.
You know, five years from now.
Yeah.
Because it's going to take an act of Congress to keep that 25-year-old from taking office. In fact, I think we should also get someone foreign-born. Maybe a 25-year-old for president and someone foreign-born to be vice president. Right. Let's come up with that kind of a ticket, and then it'll have to be, because what the court, and my joke earlier was they said the insurrectionists and killer clowns can now what they've done here is say anybody can, literally, you always heard anybody can grow up to be president. Well, now that has never been more true.
Yeah.
Thanks to this Supreme Court, they have opened the door for this insurrectionist and all future insurrectionists to become president of the United States, because right. what they have done here, they say they're putting it off on Congress, but they're not. They say it's not self-executing, and they're wrong about that. I'll tell you where I think the court is right.
Yeah.
And people can hate me for this if you want, but I'm going to agree with everybody else on the rest of it. I don't think it should be left up to a state to decide national candidates. Now that I've heard the reasoned arguments for this and the various kinds of chaos it can cause, and believe me, we have chaoses of our own, but now that I've given that some thought, no, I don't think that a red state ought to be able to take Biden off the ballot and a blue state take Trump off the ballot. Certainly they could do that with state candidates, but no, that's right. States really shouldn't be removing federal candidates. But where they got it wrong was saying that the 14th Amendment was not self-executing.
Yeah.
Because if it's not self-executing, then we can run a foreign-born 25-year-old for president 5 years from now.
Yeah.
You know, that part of the ruling makes no sense. They have opened the door, and they weren't even supposed to address that question.
Mm-hmm.
They were just supposed to address whether or not states could. But they took it farther than they needed to.
Yes.
And even Roberts has been a critic of that in the past, as have other justices.
Mm-hmm.
They were actually legislating from the bench when they did this, and that's wrong. I can live with this. I also think it's part of what I've always called a stroke and a poke, or in this case, a poke and a stroke. The poke is that we get poked by this ruling, and the next ruling we get stroked, because I think the next ruling they will refuse to grant Trump criminal immunity. I think that's what they're going
to
do.
Yeah, I want to go back to self-executing too, because this was the non-dissenting dissenting opinion. And when I say that, what I mean is, there were, again, four justices went along with the conclusion, but disagreed with the justification for that conclusion. So it was a 9-0 decision. However, in the dissenting opinion, the four dissenters, Kagan, Sotomayor, Jackson, and Coney Barrett, said that all the Reconstruction amendments, and this I'm quoting directly from the dissent, all the Reconstruction amendments, which 13th, 14th, 15th, including the due process and equal protection guarantees and prohibition of slavery, are self-executing, meaning they do not depend on legislation to go into effect.
Nor do they need a court case.
Right.
They just are. A 25-year-old can't run for president. There's no need to debate that. There's no reason for it to go to court or the Congress. It's just a simple fact. If you're 25, you can't run for president. If you're an insurrectionist, you can't run for president. We don't need a court. We don't need a Congress. You know, this was all very unfortunate, and I worry about the precedent that this sets for the future. But I like you, and I saw you made a social media post to this effect. I'm looking forward to the next ruling, which I think is going to be considerably more to our liking.
Look, just going back to Section 5 here, it says the Congress shall have the power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of this article. I never read that as a requirement. I never saw that as this needs to happen, because what you're talking about here is an immensely high threshold for ratifying an amendment in the first place, where it has to go through Congress, it has to go out to the states, and the requirement to get a constitutional amendment ratified is an immensely tall mountain to leap. But then to add on top of that a requirement that, well, yeah, in addition to all that shit, you also have to pass a law that says that this amendment goes into effect. Well, that's what's the point of that? Why don't you just... It just doesn't make any sense.
And the legislative action that I think the Supreme Court is requiring, if I'm not mistaken, would require a two-thirds majority vote.
Yes, absolutely.
And so now you've just made it a political thing.
Yes. You
know, we no longer are going by the Constitution. We're going by a political vote in Congress.
When in our divided times will that ever happen? So essentially what they've done here is they've written new law at the same time, making it even more challenging to block an insurrectionist from becoming president. 14th Amendment Section 3 might as well not even exist.
It would seem so. And one of the objections from the liberals on the court was you've removed any recourse for an insurrectionist running for public office.
Right.
It's one thing to take it away from the states, but you've made it impossible, if not virtually impossible, at the federal level.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a bridge too far. So but that part shouldn't surprise us. The fix is in. It's his Supreme Court. You know, he may not be able to control his mind or his bowels, but he can still control the Supreme Court.
Well, the upside of all of this is a couple of different things. And this is more along the lines of what wasn't in this decision. And there were two things that weren't in it. The court did not disagree that Trump engaged in insurrection.
True.
It also didn't disagree that the president is an officer of the government. And so therefore, those two key arguments by the Trump team have gone unaddressed by the Supreme Court. Maybe they'll talk about it in the immunity decision, but I doubt it.
No, I didn't think
because this was directly germane to insurrection.
Right.
And if they wanted to weigh in, even, you know, we're talking about Sam Alito here. If he wanted to weigh in on insurrection, he would have done it. And I don't think they want to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
No, in fact, they would like to move on and forget it. There will be no addendums to this.
Right, right. I mean, I would say mixed news in this, because quite honestly, I hate to be that guy. I hate to be the guy tempting fate, but I would much rather defeat Donald Trump at the ballot box than something like this. So I'm, at the end of the day, okay with this. And maybe that's partly because I've been wrapping my expectations around that obvious eventuality that they would not keep Donald Trump off the ballot, that they would be weak and ineffectual and trying to, find some sort of loophole here in order to protect him, as they seem to be doing quite often. But I don't think that's going to apply to the immunity case. I think this is maybe...
I don't see how it can. It will be shocking. Unless we get like a 5-4 decision in his favor or something. I can't imagine it happening.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, passing legislation now, I know Jamie Raskin has a thing that he's proposing. Please don't get your hopes up for some kind of thing to come along and kick him off the ballot through Congress, because it's not going to happen. And what we often do is we see this and then we go, oh, great, this will happen. This will happen. And then when it doesn't, we go, oh, God damn it. Congress can't do anything.
I do see people get their hopes up for this. And I don't think it's Jamie Raskin's goal to build false hopes. And I don't think that he did this for show. You know, sometimes lawmakers introduce bills or even pass bills for show, you know, to make a point, whatever. That's not, I don't think, why Jamie Raskin is doing this. I think he's doing it, as some honorable lawmakers do, to get it into the record.
Yeah.
You know, to get it in the record and say, you know, we tried. We proposed it. It didn't go anywhere. When we proposed it, it didn't have any chance of going anywhere, but we proposed it.
Right.
You know, and so I think we can all take some satisfaction in that, and also the lesson that maybe we got our hopes up on some of those things too easily.
It's one of those things where there aren't the votes in the House. They would need nine Republicans in the... No, I think they would need 9 Republicans in the Senate to overcome the filibuster, provided it were to pass the House, and they don't have the votes there either, unless they were to get, 6 or 7 Republicans in the House to go along with this, which won't happen. And that's for a simple majority. Didn't we just say it's going to require two-thirds?
Right. Well, I, that's my speculation, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a high hurdle to clear. I don't think this is going to happen. I know there was, someone was talking about yesterday the gap of time between when the next Congress is sworn in and the January 20th inauguration. There would be an opportunity to block someone who is disqualified from being president. But again, unless we really fucking hustle and deliver a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate and win the House back by at least a decent margin to allot for, you know, red state Democrats, for example, it's just not going to happen. So, but this is all, I think, important, too, to motivate us. I mean, to give us some sort of sense of perspective in terms of what the stakes of this election are. It's yes, it's about democracy. It's about blocking fascism. It's about blocking Donald Trump. It's about blocking all the horrendous things that could happen if Donald Trump were president. But it's also about attaining significant majorities so we can get shit done, provided Joe Biden is reelected. Get shit done through the Senate. Make sure that if someone ends up passing away on the Supreme Court or someone suddenly retires because of health issues or for whatever reason, that we have the Senate in our control so that we can approve any new nominees for the courts or any additional nominees that Joe Biden has made for the various district courts and so on. I mean, imagine a Republican Senate coming out of this election. One of the first things that John Cornyn or John Thune will do as majority leader will be to end the fucking filibuster and making it possible for the Republicans to pass all kinds of awful shit without any sort of blockage by filibustering Democrats. I mean, that's one of many nightmare scenarios in all of this. And I think oftentimes there are at least some people who voted for Joe Biden in 2020 who maybe aren't going to vote for him this time around.
Right.
And it's for stupid, frivolous reasons that have no bearing in importance or reality.
And yet that's what they intend to do nevertheless.
Yeah.
I was reading the New York, I hope Trump spares us, Times this morning. Mm. And one of their latest articles was about how Republicans are fired up for this election. They are ready to vote in massive numbers because we tried to deny them their right to vote for Trump. Because we tried to remove Trump from the ballot, Republicans are fired up to crush us at the polls this November.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I don't know if that's true or not. No. I do hope that Democrats are fired up about this Supreme Court and this corrupt, partisan, useless, unrespectable Supreme Court.
Yeah, yeah. Democracy makes you work for it. You have to be continuously vigilant and active, especially when the alternative is authoritarian, idiocratic fascism. And so consequently, it's not just about this election and it's not just about the presidency. It's up and down the entire ballot, voting for Democrats, making sure that the adults in the room have dominating victories across the board. And it's the same. It's going to be the same exact thing in 2026 and 2028 and 2030 and 2032. We have to keep delivering these victories without getting too terribly sidetracked by whatever the shiny object of the day is.
You may only care about defeating Trump, but it's your local school board that's banning books.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
It's important right down to the very bottom of the ballot. Mm-hmm. Vote blue all the way through. But on this motivation thing, this is the thing that's stuck with me. This is my message of the week, is about motivation. It is possible that the Republicans are fired up because we tried to take away their ability to vote for an insurrectionist. So we must remain fired up in our anger about the Supreme Court decisions, about the killing of Roe versus Wade, about all of the things that have made us mad over the last year.
Yeah.
You know, this is the fire that needs to remain stoked in our bellies as we march to the polls this fall to crush them.
That's right. We're going to be talking about this on the Shadow Docket today. We're going to be talking about the polls and a specific thing about the polls. Don't get me wrong on this. We're not just going to be rending our garments over whatever the latest shock poll is.
It's still too early. But yeah. talk about that later again.
Some things to say about the polls, and also I have some things to say about the fact that it appears, whether it's Donald Trump or Donald Trump's minions, that they're getting happy. And as we all know, you should not get happy. And they are absolutely measuring the drapes. Donald Trump is measuring the drapes. Certain people on Fox News measuring the drapes, getting happy. And they shouldn't. But you know what? Please proceed, MAGA. Please keep getting happy. I would much. Well, you know what? I'm getting ahead of myself here. But one thing I wanted to add before we take a break here is that even if Jamie Raskin's legislation were to pass, barring Donald Trump from the ballot in 2024, it would get struck down in the courts because it would be seen as an ex post facto law.
The system still needs to be fixed. I would urge Jamie Raskin to rewrite its effective date after the 24 election. I mean, I know we'd love to. We've all agreed the way to stop Donald Trump is going to be electorally, that we vote him, that we vote to keep him out. But in Jamie Raskin's case, if he wanted to really serve America, he could alter his bill, his proposal, to go into effect afterwards. So it's not ex posto facto whatever. You know, I don't speak Latin. It doesn't have to be just aimed at Trump. And because our system needs fixing and needs correcting, I would urge him to pursue that law for future elections and future candidates.
But any expectation that it's going to stop Trump, you know what?
Right.
You know who stops Trump? We stop Trump.
We do.
We've got, what is it? How many months? 8 months now? We've got eight months to fire up the energy on this and get unified and make sure that Joe Biden gets a second term. There's no doubt about it. I mean, there's no wiggle room here. There's no room for, well, you know, he's kind of old or I like a thing and my issue is this. And so therefore I'm going to vote for that. No, there's one essential issue in this election, and that is stopping a dictator who is telling us that he is going to act as a dictator, who is going to make moves to make sure that he is dictator for life. Donald Trump is poised to charge peaceful protesters with insurrection. It wouldn't be a shocker to learn that Donald Trump would expand that witch hunt to things like journalists, for example. They're opposed to me, which means they're engaging in insurrection. Let us imprison them now and nationalize their publication and turn it into a propaganda wing of the new Trump administration.
And just a reminder to the journalists who are kissing Trump's ass, he won't spare you either.
Right, right. And the other thing, too, is guess what? Donald Trump's old. Donald Trump is slurring his words. Donald Trump is engaging in more and more of those short circuits. As time goes on, happening. It used to happen every other rally, maybe once a rally. Yeah. Now it's happening several times during his rallies where he goes to say something. He entirely breaks down. His speech breaks down. And then he, because he's so desperate, scrambles to try to make it seem like he intended to say the wrong thing, which is how we get magnified fortune, a fashionable magnified tape or whatever the fuck he was talking about.
Right.
We've got a clip coming up here after the break where it is the one of the biggest short circuits he's ever engaged in. And it wasn't just the fact that he stumbled over a word. It's that his whole face contorts as it's happening. And he couldn't even come up with a retcon for the short circuit. So that's how bad the short circuits have become. He used to be able to scramble and come up with something that was nonsensical, but still explained the short circuit in his mind.
Right.
This time, didn't even go there. Just went, like he did a Napoleon Dynamite. It's like, oh, my lips hurt real bad. Oh. And that's kind of what happened here.
He seems to undergo some kind of physical change here, indeed.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that and the continued concern trolling over Joe Biden being old, et cetera, et cetera. I wish it would stop. I wish it would stop. God damn it, Axios, CNN, New York Times. Take a look around you. See also what I just said about Donald Trump indiscriminately labeling people as violators of the Insurrection Act and therefore rounding them up. This is going to happen.
He's not going to spare you either, New York Times.
Right. Plus,
he's not going to spare you either, MSNBC or NBC.
That's exactly right. And if you think Donald Trump doesn't have an enemies list, I got a bridge to sell you. He absolutely has an enemies list, and he's going to start checking that thing off as soon as he gets back in the White House, I assure you.
And don't forget the other big thing. The election is now less than three trimesters away.
That's exactly fucking right.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. Okay, so we're also going to troll Donald Trump about the money he owes. Plus, he's being sued again. We'll talk about that. And you know what? I'm going to have to say thank you, Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley went to a place the other day, I think it was on Fox News, about COVID. And I was like, oh, thank God. Because up until now, I felt like I was taking crazy. I felt like I was the only one trying to drag this thing out of the goddamn memory hole. And Nikki Haley brought up Donald Trump's record on COVID. So we're going to talk about that here and a whole lot more still to come on the Big Tuesday Show, back after these words.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, this is John Fugelsang of SiriusXM, and every morning as part of my parole, we bring you a condensed version of last night's show as the John Fugelsang Podcast. Our guest list has ranged from Brian Wilson to Rakim, Julie Andrews to Ashanti, Willie Nelson to Smokey Robinson, from Mark Hamill to The Who to R.E.M., from Bernie Sanders to Chris Christie, Tyler Perry to Carol Burnett. We've got the best journalists, most qualified opinions, and some of the best comics with the most unqualified opinions. The John Fugelsang Podcast. Get it wherever fine podcasts can be downloaded.
All time favorites all day long.
Brand new Matt Jaffe.
Wow.
I was here grooving to it and I forgot. Oh my God, we're doing a show. I got to start talking here in a second. Brand new single called Twilight of Our Prime. And this one is, in fact, available to download now. Yeah, link in the description to get it. Just go to bobsuska.com, find this episode dated 3/5/24. Click that link, scroll down, and you'll find links to support to download all the music we have here on the show.
Two words come to mind.
Yeah.
Rock, hit.
Yeah.
It's solid rock, and it sounds like a hit.
Matt Jaffe is one of the best of the best. Every time he's got a brand new single, I have to race. I scramble over myself to get it on the show.
Congratulations, Matt, because that was awesome.
Yeah. This is a guy who should be winning all the goddamn Grammys. Matt Jaffe. Remember that name. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, of course, how could you forget it? I play Matt Jaffe music all the time, and deservingly
Thank you.
So.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. BobSuska.com/music to submit your work to the show. Thank you for doing that. If you're a musician, if you're in a band, send me your stuff, bobsuska.com/music. Thank you.
Oh, we had some breaking news just before we went to break. And it'll probably be fine by the time you hear the show. Otherwise, you won't be hearing the show in some cases.
Yeah.
As we speak, Facebook, Threads, the entire Meta universe, including Instagram, all down. They all crash. They're all out of service.
Wow.
As Bob and I are speaking now. This has been going on for about 20 minutes. We'll update you toward the end of the show to see if it's still underway. But this is something that will be on the news tonight, so we wanted to be sure and mention it.
Yeah, it's so upsetting to me because... You know how much I love social media, Buzz.
Oh, yes.
How important it is for the stability of our society.
When I post news updates, it's now six pages. I do it on two Facebook pages.
Two?
Not Instagram. I do Threads.
Yeah.
Twitter. Spoutable.
Mm-hmm.
I can never Blue Sky. I can never remember all of them. But anyway, they're like six pages now, and two of them are Facebook. So for me, this knocks me off of three of my six pages.
I think social media is a failed experiment. So anytime
social
media goes haywire and blows a gasket, I'm there for it. I think that's an important thing. At least for a small, short period of time, the bullshit is turned off, and
it's not often. As progressives, we like to move forward, not backward, but I wish we could move backward on social media and on 24/7 alleged cable news networks.
Yeah.
Those are the most damning and deadly things that have happened to this democracy.
Yeah. I don't know anyone who can adequately explain to me why social media is so utterly important at this point. It just seems like the negative aspects of social media far outweigh the positive aspects, leading to a net negative for social media. I think the damage that it has created far outweighs the benefits that it provides.
Totally agree. For me, it's an outlet. For me, it's other than this show and those six social media pages, that's the limit of my reach these days. I mean, it used to be on a nationally syndicated radio show, but being on a network, you have obviously a much bigger reach. And this is somewhat limited, but I still like doing what I do, and I think my peoples like me to continue doing it.
Yeah.
So, for me, it's valuable that way, but you're right. It's mostly garbage, and we were all better off without it.
Yeah, and I say that as someone who is always on social media.
Right.
We have to. Basically like a drug addict saying, I'm for the prohibition of drugs.
I have news to report.
I know what it's like to be on social media all the time, so therefore I can see the damage that it causes, right?
Yeah, to yourself included. But, we both have things we want to say. In my case, I also like to get out breaking news.
Mm-hmm.
It's a place to express ourselves. It's a place we can go to scream into the void.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what it is for me.
Yeah.
It's I think, screaming into the void and hoping that somebody hears it. I feel like I have to at least try.
Yeah, well, I always say one of the reasons I got into blogging was not just because I'm a student of American politics, but also because I needed an outlet. Because I was finding myself, especially in the early days of the Bush administration, I found myself yelling at the television way more often than I should be. I mean, out loud, actually yelling, screaming words out loud at my television where no one else was around to hear it. And that is probably not a healthy thing to do. So I was like, maybe I should do this publicly. So what do they call it in psychology, where you take something and you put it somewhere else so that you don't have to deal with it? I don't know what that is. Projection? I'm not sure. But it was much healthier for me to use blogging and social media as an outlet for that stuff rather than just shouting it at myself.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to, I think gunny sacking, you don't want to gunny sack it.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. So, you know what? Let's talk about this big short circuit from Donald Trump. This is, by the way, this is only about 8 seconds long. I know we got a comment on Apple Podcasts that says, oh, yeah, Bob, you got to tell us how long the Trump clips are so we can skip over it. So,
I started to say something to that person, but I'll
go ahead and say it because I think I'll agree with you.
Grow up.
Thank you. We are grown-ups here. This is a show for grown-ups.
We're past, what are you, eight? We're past that. I'm sorry. I'll pay for your subscription. Just don't do that.
Yeah, I think right now, given the fact that Donald Trump is going to be the nominee of his party. Donald right. Trump is going to be in the general election.
Right.
I think we can say his name. I think we can retire the former guy thing.
We have to. That was fun for a while, and it's a nice drama to say, oh, I can't hear him anymore. You know, grow up.
Yeah.
It's a reality. What, you're saying you can't deal with reality? Well, then you're not going to be very helpful to the cause.
Right. In order to defeat someone, you have to at least be able to say their name. You know what I mean? Otherwise, who you're talking about, you know?
Say his name.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's also fun to listen to Donald Trump right now because he's, as we said before, he's short-circuiting more and more often. And this one was a doozy. This was a gigantic short circuit, and it goes by, if you blink and you miss it, but it's an important one because it's actually making headlines today. Here we go. This is Donald Trump. I don't know where the hell he was at a rally just a couple of days
ago. He doesn't either.
Yeah, he doesn't know where he was. That's funny.
We are a nation that just recently heard that Saudi Arabia and Russia will be reducing.
So it was reducing that completely tripped him up to the point where he's like, bah. And when he was doing that, if you look at the video, his face like
washes out, drains.
It contorts. His mouth goes sideways. It's like someone slapped him in the back of the head. And then he couldn't recover from it like he normally does. So all he did was go, like Napoleon Dynamite, which is to me hilarious that he did the Napoleon Dynamite sigh, which is one of my favorite things from that movie. Just like,
I can't hear the sigh often enough. You know, I mean, I'm for playing it again. I know there's also a tape where he again refers to Biden as Obama.
Yeah.
That he talks about Obama is throwing around the nuclear word again, and he could barely get out the word nuclear, so he repeats it to make sure he got it right. I saw a clip of him saying that he's very good at making up names. No, what he's good at is unpainting himself out of a corner, or at least he used to be. Now he's even lost that ability, as witnessed in this tape that Bob's going to play for me again, in which he goes,
So here, by request, going out to Buzz Burbank.
We are a nation that just recently heard that Saudi Arabia and Russia will be reducing...
My lips hurt real bad.
It's just a collapse. I really, you know, I'll do this on my own time, but I want to study that more and more because there's some kind of collapse occurring there. And, you know, I'm glad it's getting more play. I'm so depressed that it's not getting widespread mass media play. America needs to know right the F now just how far the cheese has slipped off the cracker.
Yeah. I mean, the cheese has officially divorced the cracker. There are lawyers involved. The cheese and the cracker have hired divorce attorneys. And the thing is, it is now today making big headlines. It was officially the above the logo banner headline on the Drudge Report. Say what you will about Matt Drudge, but this is the go-to website for the entire political news media. This is what they look at in their rounds every day as they're on the internet. They look at Drudge Report, and this was the headline above the logo at Drudge. Trump suffers bizarre brain freeze, slurring speech. And the link goes to the clip that we just played, the Napoleon Dynamite clip, where he short circuits and then goes,
And it's all over social media, but you know where it isn't? It isn't the lead story on the nightly news or World News Tonight or the front pages of the New York Times or the Washington Post or any other newspaper, for that matter. It hasn't made it to that level yet, and that's where it should be right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how we get it there, but we must get it there. America must know just how far this guy's mind has slipped.
And the other thing he's doing, and I think we lose sight of the broader context of this, given the extreme nature of the short circuit, what he's doing there, and you heard the music playing in the background as he did his Napoleon Dynamite thing, and that is actually even more dangerous than the short circuit itself. What he's doing is he's brainwashing his disciples. He's using this technique in his rallies now.
It's hypnosis. It literally is hypnosis.
Exactly. It is textbook brainwashing where he's got that sullen, somber music playing. And then he goes through all the grievances in this hypnotic tone of voice. You know, those goddamn wrong number dialers when they dial the wrong number. And it's like all that kind of shit. He's just like throwing stuff in. Don't you hate it when they give you airplane peanuts? It is the and it's the somber music playing in the background. And then all the fanboys and disciples are all like, yes, the airplane peanuts, whatever you say, Messiah. And yeah. It's weird. It's fucking crazy. I've never seen that has never happened in the history of American politics. No candidate has ever presented a rally speech with an accompanying music bed.
I have a dear friend. Actually, she was once my radio news co-anchor, and we were the best co-anchor radio news team on the radio ever.
Yeah.
But she became, since there was no future in radio, became a hypnotist, a legit hypnotist, who has not only studied but written books about and taught courses in hypnotism. She knows how this works, and she has taught me some like signs to look for to indicate is this a form of hypnotism.
Yeah,
this is absolutely a form of hypnotism. You want to know why these red hats are walking like zombies reciting this crap? It's because they have been hypnotized.
The other thing I wanted to mention here too is the fact that Bill Maher was at it again Friday night. He had Dr. Phil on.
Is he still on?
Yeah, God damn it. They were doing this whole thing where they were talking about how Joe Biden needs to take a cognitive exam. That was Dr. Phil's thing. And, of course, concern trolling all about that. And not even bothering with all of the fuckery coming from Donald Trump, the short circuits and all the rest of it. The immense danger, even beyond that. There's no context. There's no priority anymore. It's just absolutely ridiculous, the malpractice being engaged in by so many people in the media. And Bill Maher's not the only one, of course, but he's one of them. Dr. Phil is another one of them, apparently. Donald Trump has talked about his cognitive tests. He's taken several cognitive tests. They're all, of course, the same one. It's the MoCA cognitive test. And if it was the other cognitive test, if we find out that it was the MMSR test or something like that, there's a second cognitive test that they only give to people who they verified to have cognitive issues. So we find out that he took that second test. Well, there's a giant red flag right there.
You can worry
that they've already diagnosed him. Yeah.
Right.
But let's say it's it's been the MoCA test every single time and he's taken it a bunch of times. Every time he's talked about it, he is either lying about what's on it or he can't remember what was on it because he said there was a shark as one of the animals. There's no shark on there. He said there was a vote.
It was a whale.
One of those things.
That's right.
Absolutely insane. So
there's
Donald
no whale
Trump
on the test. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a fair assumption of maybe a 50-50 possibility that Donald Trump forgot what was on his cognitive tests.
Right.
What? Where? Hello? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Where the fuck is this in the headlines of the New York Times? I mean, when Donald Trump said at his rally that he would encourage Russia to invade a NATO nation, it was A16 in the New York Times. How can we possibly expect that the New York Times would cover something like Donald Trump not remembering what was on his cognitive tests, even after taking those cognitive tests several times?
It took weeks for the jokes and talk and headlines to die down about Joe Biden stumbling over a sandbag.
Yeah.
Where's the reporting on any of this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely agree. So
I'm just so furious. I'm still fuming about the Supreme Court thing. And one thing I didn't say about that and it just adds to everything that I'm fuming about.
Uh-huh.
And that is that they rush right to the decisions that will help Donald Trump, and then they drag their feet on the decisions that can hurt Donald Trump.
Yeah.
They were Johnny on the spot, the Supreme Court, when it was Bush v. Gore, but now that it's Trump v. democracy, we're going to take our time.
Look, if Donald Trump was 20 years younger and perfectly articulating himself, I can see this disparity taking place in the press. But he's not. He's old. He's slurring. He's saying things that don't make any sense on top of not remembering what was on his cognitive test, making shit up. I mean, the phenomenal amount of plagiarism and just making things up out of whole cloth that just don't exist. This is happening every single time he steps in front of a microphone, and it's not getting covered at all. This is, again, malpractice. It's malpractice.
It is, and malpractice on the part of the public, too. Mm-hmm. I'm ashamed and embarrassed for my fellow citizens that they're not paying attention, that they're paying so little. And I know everybody has their life to live, but you've got to, it's your job as a citizen to pay attention to these things.
Yes.
And what citizens are seeing, first of all, there's an epidemic of amnesia among the voting public. You've talked about the memory hole. Well, it's more like a memory black hole in the case of Donald Trump, because with the fire hose of crap during his years in office, there was so much we can't remember at all. Yeah. And you can't hold against somebody what you can't remember. And as time has passed, and he was off Twitter for a while, the horribleness of the Trump years has largely been forgotten. What a lot of voting public sees now is one guy who speaks more strong sounding than the other guy. Mm-hmm. And so they associate that voice with strength, and that's all they need to know. Now go pick up the kids from soccer or whatever. I mean, you need to pay more attention to that. Everybody does, because this is what's happening, and we're paying attention to the wrong things if we're voting for a president based on, for example, what we perceive as the strength of their voice while ignoring everything else.
I'll never forget, at one of his recent rallies, he was talking about his cognitive test. And he said there was a math equation on it. I mean, I think there is one where you subtract a certain number from a larger number. I think it's you subtract 7 from a series of numbers. So that's the extent of the math. But what he said in terms of the math is he said there was an equation on there that was 4,733 times 7 divided by 4. I'm not making this up. This is actually from his rally. 4,733 times 7 divided by 4 plus 37.5. And he did that. He solved that equation without the help of paper or pencil, he said.
Wow.
I did that equation without paper or pencil. And so that is, to me, that in and of itself is a cognitive issue.
Right.
That he was so desperate to cover up his actual results that he made up this elaborate lie about what was actually on the cognitive test. Maybe he was making up the elaborate lie about what was on the cognitive test because he couldn't remember it. Maybe the lie is dependent on not being able to remember what was actually on the thing. Yeah. And so when he goes to lie, of course, what he does is he inflates his prowess.
Mary Trump says that Donald Trump was sharp back in the day.
Yeah.
That everybody thought he was pretty sharp, pretty quick-witted, the things that he said seemed to make sense. What also goes way far back in the Donald timeline is the lying, back to his childhood.
Yeah.
He's been a liar all his life, and so that's not so much the cognitive issue as it is the moral character issue.
Yeah.
But all of the above are at play here.
And the good news is, on top of all the other things, Trump now owes more than $2 million in interest on top of all the other penalties and interest he had already owed in Judge Angoron's court based on this civil fraud suit. So it's been, I think, 19, 20 days since that decision was handed down?
About that, yeah.
We talked about he was either $112,000 a day or $114,000 a day.
$114,000, but yes.
Yeah.
Same neighborhood.
Multiplied by 19/20 days. And here we are. That's like at least more than $2 million on top of everything else.
And still growing by $114,000 a day.
Yeah. And Monty Boa on Twitter wrote this. He said, when E. Jean Carroll and A.G. James start seizing and liquidating Trump properties, he's going to be liable for the capital gains taxes on those properties since they've appreciated substantially since he bought them, which means he'll owe the IRS hundreds of millions of dollars, too.
I wonder if that's based on real numbers of speculation, because I've also read that his property values have literally fallen since he was elected president. So, maybe they're up, maybe they're down. But, yeah, if taxes are owed, he'll have to pay that, too.
Yeah, I mean, they may have fallen year over year, but certainly I don't think they've fallen since. I think they've greatly appreciated since he first invested in them, unless what is absolutely true. He's a terrible businessman. Maybe he overpaid for the properties. So he can never make a profit on, or he would never have capital gains.
As Trump has proven, real estate is always the best investment.
Yeah. Oh, meantime, Donald Trump, on top of all of the other things, once again, Donald Trump is being sued. And this time it's by the Trump Media co-founders involved in establishing Troth. What is it? Troth Central?
Troth Central.
Yeah. More trouble for Troth Central. Trump Media sued by co-founders ahead of DWAC merger, potential setback for lucrative deal. Former President Donald Trump was accused in a lawsuit on Wednesday of trying to, quote, drastically dilute the value of stock shares in his social media company held by the firm's co-founders, potentially depriving them of hundreds of millions of dollars in profits.
Wow.
So, yeah, Donald Trump monkeying around with numbers once again, trying to make up for the fact that he's a goddamn failure. So what he does is he inflates things when he needs to, deflates things when he needs to. I mean, he said over and over again, and this is one of those things where I feel like I've taken crazy pills, Buzz. Every time he says at a rally, and he said this on Troth Central too. Oh, I deflate the value of my assets greatly. I've deflated all of them. To me, if I were an Internal Revenue Service auditor, I'd be like, wait, what did you say? Did he just say he deflated his assets? Because to me, that would signify a very strong potential for income tax evasion.
Yeah. You're either overvaluing your property as a way of lying to the bank that you're asking for a loan, or you undervalue your property when you're talking to the tax man. And if you do both and they catch you having those numbers not matching, then you're in a lot of trouble. And that's where at least he should be today. You know, it surprises me, Bob, that the people behind the technology, the people behind the software that runs Troth Central.
Troth Central.
I'm surprised the people who designed that software haven't sued Troth Central for stealing that software from them.
I know. But here, the hits keep coming. Trump's former chief financial officer pleaded guilty to perjury related to testimony he gave during Trump's civil fraud trial. And this is, of course, Alan Weiselberg. He pleaded guilty to 2 counts of perjury and will be sentenced to 5 months in jail. His second guilty plea in a criminal case involving his work for Donald Trump. He pleaded guilty in a tax fraud case in 2022 and was sentenced to 5 months there. So once again, everything Donald Trump touches dies. And there are still people, I can't believe this, there are still people who are stupid enough to be scrambling over themselves, like clawing and desperately trying to get close to Donald Trump, knowing what happens to people close to Donald Trump.
When all they have to do is look at Alan Weiselberg and see that this guy has gone to jail for Trump twice. This is not just any jail, my friends. He went to Rikers. And now this is an old guy. This is an old dude who did, who did bookkeeping for the Trumps forever. He did it for Fred Trump when Daddy Fred was alive, and he's done it for the Donald. And now he's gone to jail. He's going to jail twice. He's going to jail a second time for this guy. And both times he's going to Rikers. He went to Rikers last time and then he got out. And now he's going, guess what, old man, back to Rikers. This should be a lesson.
Yeah.
A lesson to those who continue to march to the tune of Trump.
Mm-hmm. And another thing to look forward to. Yes. I feel like any day now, Letitia James is going to seize 60 Wall Street, Trump Tower, get a bunch 41. Of properties because he's not paying. He's not fucking paying. And so the shit is really going to hit the fan. If Donald Trump could afford to pay, he would have paid already, but he hasn't.
He can't. And they lifted this, and I didn't post an update about this. Maybe I normally would have. I was kind of on the fence. I didn't really like the news.
Yeah.
But Engoron ruled that the Trump boys, Eric and Don Jr., can continue to run the company for a little while. They amended that order, and he also amended the part about Trump can't borrow from any New York banks. That's been lifted too. So maybe they're trying to give the guy a way to come up with the money, but we're 2 or 3 weeks into this 4-week deadline, And with the interest building up, as Bob just explained, with the clock continuing to tick on that, we still haven't gotten the money from Trump. So maybe now that he can borrow from banks again,
yeah.
But see who's going to loan in the money. So,
yeah, right, you know, right.
Meanwhile, the clock continues to tick. So this is rolling Schadenfreude. This could actually just get better and better and better as we get to the deadline.
I can't imagine any bank dumping piles of cash into the black hole, into the singularity of Trump's financial situation. What a disaster that would be. I mean, utterly ridiculous that they would even contemplate giving Donald Trump money because they know they're never going to fucking see it. He is broke. Yeah. He is bankrupting the RNC right now.
Right.
I mean, it's just, he is, you know what? He's a black hole of financial fraud. He is a money suck right now. It's like dumping cash down the garbage disposal.
Echoing her father-in-law, yeah. Lara Trump, is saying that if you want to be part of the RNC, you have to be MAGA. She's essentially saying you can't be a member of this party if you're not MAGA. She's taking what Trump suggested and making it policy for that national political party.
And here's the dark side of all of this. There are still lots and lots of people, I would say in the millions.
Wait, this wasn't the dark side?
Yeah, no, this is the really dark shit. There are millions of people in this country who are like, yeah, Donald Trump would do a great job in the economy. You know, because all the evidence of him being just this business and financial wizard, right? The fact it's all memory hole. It's like
national amnesia.
Some sort of pre-COVID nostalgia for Donald Trump. It's just remarable to observe this.
He flooded us with crap,
yeah.
and then he was off Twitter and kind of disappeared for a little while, mm-hmm. and that gave everybody just enough time to forget how terrible it was.
The amnesia is striking. This guy presided over a gigantic economy-wide recession. He presided over a manufacturing recession, gigantic deficit, gigantic debt at the end of his 4 years. He presided over the loss of 3 million jobs, a net loss of 3 million. The worst jobs record since Hoover, for God's sake. We had to wipe our asses with coffee filters. And people are like, yeah, give him stewardship of the economy again. This is mind-boggling to me. It's one of those things that is making new veins pop out of my forehead every day.
Yeah.
God damn it. What is wrong with people? Get your shit together, America. God damn it.
I came into this week. I mean, I was thinking about this yesterday, preparing for today's show and thinking, I am so mad at the rest of the country. I'm so mad at my fellow citizens. Same. I'm so disgusted at the ignorance, at the willful and sometimes gleeful ignorance that surrounds me. I never thought it would get this bad, and they don't realize just how bad they've gotten. I don't know how to easily. Here's what we need to do. We need to continue to underscore his mental condition, his dementia needs to be a keen focus for us. I think, you know, obviously the abortion question, and remember, less than three trimesters till the election. That might be an effective phrase. That might be the phrase of the week. Vote. I mean, hope for a criminal conviction.
Yeah.
We might get one before the election. We'll certainly get a trial, I think, started before the election. Things may not be as grim on that front as they appear. We certainly had reason for concern this week with the Supreme Court ruling, but there are also ways that some of this can take place before the election and even through the election. So don't give up hope there. So expose his dementia, pursue the criminality, and vote.
Yeah.
This is all we can do now.
Yeah, regarding the economy, we're going to talk about the idea of deflation as it pertains to Donald Trump during the Shadow Docket portion of the show. But I'll leave you with this one thing. If you know someone, and there are many people who believe this, that Donald Trump, as president, will make prices go back down to where they were in 2019, please ask them the follow-up question after they say this dumb fuckery. Ask them how?
Right.
How is he going to do that? What about his record has proved that he can somehow magically make prices go back down to where they were in 2019 without a colossal recession, without some sort of economy-wide calamity? Just ask them how. Seriously, that's just your homework. If you bump into one of these people, is like, yeah, well, the gas prices, eggs are too expensive, and so therefore I'm going to vote for Donald Trump because he'll make the prices go back down. How? They won't be able to answer that question, I assure you. These are people who have no sense, no idea how inflation or the economy functions. And they're like, yeah, Donald Trump will do it. Okay, why? Where do you get that? Where's that bullshit coming from? Seriously, just do that. We're going to talk about this more, as I said, on the Shadow Docket on our Patreon page. Coming up, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Okay, after the one last break here, we're going to talk about Nikki Haley and COVID in the context of actually saying thank you, Nikki Haley. In all seriousness. And then we're going to play a, I know Stephanie Miller does this on her show, and we're going to borrow it. We're going to do a round of Who Said It. I'm going to play a clip, and you have to tell me what network repeated this particular line. And I think I think you know where we're going with this.
I'm going to write down my answer now.
Okay. One last break. Back with more show right after this.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Hi, it's Randy Rhodes, and here's what you missed. The remedy is not that Congress needs to pass legislation. I already showed you one case that the majority actually wrote in a footnote so I could see it. So that's garbage, right? What the remedy is you keep this man off the ballot, or you tell them that you're going to keep this man off the ballot. And then Congress, here's what they do. They're remedial in this amendment. What does that mean? It means Congress can remove the disability of being declared an oath-breaking insurrectionist by the court. So this was a job for the court, wasn't it? Yes, it was. So Congress is not the place where you go to get legislation to keep an insurrectionist off the ballot. No, the court is. The court is exactly where you go, and that's exactly where Colorado went. Don't have time to listen to the live show? Want to hear more on your schedule? Go to randyrhodes.com and buy a stinking podcast.
There is exciting news in Stephanie Miller podcast land, isn't there, Chris? We now offer Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast and the Out of the Gate podcast.
Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast is once a week. It is the best interviews of the week from the Stephanie Miller Show every Friday. Stephanie Miller Out of the Gate is daily. You will get the first segment of every day's Stephanie Miller Show, plus Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour Extra, which is the best interview of each day. So three different podcasts in one feed.
Get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
Bob Seska plays more music. Whoa!
Shut up! Why don't you just shut up? Shut up! Why don't you just shut up?
If you want to get with someone like me, I want to feel like I've been struck by lightning.
You know who this is.
Show me what you're made of.
This is someone named Jody Hamilton. And someone else named Lonnie Paul. This is amazing. This is Jody Hamilton and her husband Lonnie. And a song called Shut Up and Dance. Love this. Playing this again. We debuted this on Thursday's show. This is only a demo, and I know I'm being a C-tease with this. It is not available to download right now. But we will hopefully... Yeah, I know. That's what everyone in the comments on Patreon are saying right now. Oh, why can't we... Oh, damn, we can't download it. But I'm going to try to remedy that. I'm going to try to get convince Jody and Lonnie to post this somewhere that they can... reap the benefits of it being downloadable. So
Jody is so good. You should have her on your show sometime.
I think so. That's a great idea. We should try that. Yeah.
No, you know what? That song, I mean, that's some serious rock and roll there on Rock and Roll Day here on the Bob Seska Show. That's some serious stuff. And that song really suits her. I mean, yeah. They suit each other. She and that song fit together very, very well. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to do this joke. I'm going to do it now because I probably never have an opportunity otherwise. We all love Jody from working with her, but a lot of people try to be friends with Jody so they can get close to, you know, Lonnie.
I see what you did.
I'm a big Lonnie fan, actually. So
me too.
That joke works for me.
Yeah, every once in a while when Jody logs on to record the Thursday show, I can hear Lonnie playing guitar in the background.
Cool.
And so Jody's talking to me, and because of my ADHD, I'm focused on Lonnie. I'm like, that's some pretty mean riffing going on back there. That's awesome.
Wow. That's some serious rock and roll.
Yeah. Okay, so I got to thank Nikki Haley, and everyone's like,
no.
Why are you doing that, Bob? Don't thank Nikki Haley.
No.
Because she's an enemy. She's a villain. And you know what? She is. But she's also going after Donald Trump, and she's not pulling any punches right now. Mm-hmm. One of the things I keep screaming about on this show and on the aforementioned social media is, why doesn't anyone remember the fact that Donald Trump's incompetence led to the deaths of 400,000 Americans in his final year in office? I mean, there was such a big fucking deal made of Benghazi what was it, September 11th, 2012?
It goes back a ways.
And it was endless investigations. They investigated Hillary Clinton. They investigated Barack Obama. Four Americans died. 100,000 times that number died on Donald Trump's watch of a preventable disease for which there was a roadmap to make sure that it would not spread. There was information. There were experts who knew the ins and outs of how to contain a potentially deadly pandemic from spreading uncontrolled. Donald Trump waited weeks and weeks and weeks after knowing about it, admitted to that to Bob Woodward on the record on several occasions.
He's not responsible for all the deaths, but he's responsible for most of them.
Well, yeah, and he set the tone for what would come after. He established this antisocial, this irresponsible attitude by so many Americans to view the solutions to COVID as not being something to prevent people from dying, but being something that, oh my God, they're trampling on our freedoms right now because, you know, they're trying to keep us from dying. And so the great irony is a majority of the deaths were Donald Trump supporters because Donald Trump insisted after just a couple of weeks of lockdowns, we need to liberate Michigan. We need to liberate Ohio. We need to set these people free. And I'm going to be the one to do it. And so that set the tone for everything. But he could have stopped that before it even happened. There was a time, Buzz, when there was one guy on the mainland of the United States who was testing positive for COVID. They could have stopped it right there. Chose not to. Because Donald Trump was so utterly focused on winning re-election, he didn't want to cause a panic that would drag him down like it did with John McCain and the beginning of the Great Recession in 2008. Mm-hmm. So this is what he was desperately trying to avoid, and hundreds of thousands of Americans died. Many of those Americans as a direct result of Donald Trump's incompetence. There have been numerous studies along those lines. So I've been trying to reinsert this, drag this out of the fucking memory hole and say, hey, look, what about this? You really want to make this guy president again? You know, the guy who was such a disaster that, as I said before, we had to wipe our asses with coffee filters because there wasn't any goddamn toilet paper. And you want him to be the steward of our economy again? Are you out of your fucking mind? So Nikki Haley was on Fox News Channel.
Right.
And she actually went there. And when I saw this clip yesterday, I was like, oh, thank God. Thank God someone is fucking saying this publicly. Because it's shocking to know that people have already forgotten. What a goddamn nightmare that was, that Donald Trump foisted upon the American people and indeed foisted on the entire world. We're the last remaining superpower, and our example spread throughout the world, spread through disinformation based on Donald Trump's fuckery. So anyway, here's Nikki Haley on Fox News Channel.
But the reality is, this all started under his watch, not anybody else's. And, you know, you look at all that happened during COVID and the way people suffered during that. It's because of the decisions that he made. It's because of the fact that they were, you know, people were saying two different things. And so no one trusted what information they were being given.
Jesus, right. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
It's accurate. It's true.
Nikki, come over to the good side of the force.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. And she cannot vote for Joe Biden. But I'd like to, and maybe this may be a premature victory lap, but I'd like to take what I think is going to be a proper victory lap on something I've been saying about Nikki Haley. Initially, I was hearing from friends and others, she's shooting to be Trump's vice presidential candidate.
No.
And I said, no, they've gone too far for that. They hate each other too much. I don't see that happening. And then she was asked if she would. She certainly signed a pledge. When was that thing signed? I don't know. She signed a pledge like last year saying that she would support whoever the nominee was.
Yeah.
And she has, I think, said that out loud perhaps on an occasion. But it's been a little while since she said it. And there's been a lot of campaigning and there have been a lot of things said since then. And I'm now at a point where she will not endorse Donald Trump. I didn't believe it then. And I was thought to be naive, you know. No, she's in the end, she's gonna back Trump. I don't think so. I don't, not after everything she's said. There's no way she can do it. And I've read posits that what she's really doing is trying to destroy him now, and she would like to run, you know, 5 years from now.
Yeah, well, I think the safe money is the fact that maybe she will endorse Donald Trump, but I'm with you. I don't know. I'm kind of leaning toward she's not going to do it. She's not going to kiss the ring. She's not going to genuflect before that guy.
This past week, well, on Kristen Welker's I Live in Trump's Butt show on Sunday mornings now, Nikki Haley said... She said that the pledge that she signed as a Republican candidate to support whoever the nominee was, she said that was a requirement, but added, the party has changed since then. Quote, the RNC now is not the same RNC. Wow. She is saying that she will not, no longer, the correct wording here is, no longer feels bound by the pledge that she and other Republicans made to back the eventual nominee.
Interesting.
I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew she had gone too far. See, you get to be right about stuff all the time. And I think I pretty much knocked this one out of the park. So I want to take a bow here, if I
all
may.
Right. Yes, please do.
She's not going to come over to the good side.
No.
She never, ever will. We're never going to get along. But we are grateful to the damage that she's doing to Trump. And I do think that it is too late for her to turn back now. I think what she's looking to do is she's looking to run, you know, in the next presidential election.
Right. Yeah. Right. I think she's positioning herself to be maybe a kingmaker in the new Republican Party, whatever that might be. Because if this election turns out to be a disaster, we're going to talk about measuring the drapes in the White House during the during the shadow docket. And I think maybe she's one of the people who thinks, oh, man, there may be an opportunity here for me to squeak my way into whatever emerges in the aftermath of the destruction of the GOP.
In fact, if for some reason Trump is unable to serve, she's right there. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think she can beat Biden, but, it'd be a good practice run for him.
Yeah, I mean, as David likes to say on the Thursday show, I mean, Trump is just one COVID blood clot away from maybe Nikki Haley ascending as the actual nominee. So, I don't know.
That's true.
I don't know. But before we wrap up the show, let's do a round of Who Said It?
Okay.
Who Said It? This is where I play a clip, and I'm stealing this directly from Stephanie Miller. We often exchange body fluids, Stephanie Miller and me.
Steal from the best.
Yes. And so I'm going to play this clip, and you're going to have to tell me what network broadcast this clip on their air. Is that how you say it now? Air on their cable? I don't know how you would do it.
It is. I'm not going to say it out loud. I'm going to text you my answer now.
Okay.
And then you go ahead and play the clip.
Oh, this is someone talking about Joe Biden and how Joe Biden is doing as president, given the fact that he's old.
I can only tell you what my former bosses who have met with him publicly and privately say. He takes meetings long into the night. He's on top of everything. He's very detail-oriented. He's never had a note card in any one of those meetings. And I will say this, I would rather have a president who maybe has a stutter once in a while than one who spews conspiracy theory, racist nonsense, and has dinner with Nazis.
Okay, wow. Buzz Burbank. What network broadcast this particular clip?
Well, now that I've heard the clip, I'm not sure about the answer I wrote down, to be honest. And I certainly don't know who the speaker is. Mm-hmm. I had thought you were going to play something that was going to be embarrassing to the press, and I just advanced it. I guess it was NBC.
Your tested answer was NBC.
I didn't expect you to play something truthful like that.
Well, NBC is incorrect.
Ah, I was right that I was wrong.
The analyst and network was Jonathan Cott. He is from Capital Council LLC. And he was on Fox News Channel when he said that.
Wow.
So talking about, once again, further confirmation that Joe Biden in the White House is doing just fine. He is excelling in the role. He is attentive. He is alert. He is engaged in policy making and decision making. And as we all know, being president is 99.9% decision making. And Joe Biden is on top of it. See, I must be sundowning because I almost said the wrong name, right?
Well, we are at the sundown of this show. And by the way, all the Facebook and Meta stuff is still out.
Oh, it is? Wow. Yeah. Hello, Russia. Can Sarah Palin see Vladimir Putin's head rising above over... Oh, God.
If you're having trouble hearing the show, let us know.
Yeah.
The election is just three trimesters away. That's my parting thought.
Yes. Stand by for action. Okay. On the Shadow Docket show coming up on our Patreon page, we still have some things to talk about here. There is still a publication that is reaching for the Trump Will Pivot script.
Oh, God.
Trying that one again, that old yarn, you know, setting the Wayback Machine to 2015 and 2016. Oh, Donald Trump is going to pivot. He's going to be normal. You just wait and see. Axios was on top of that. We're going to be talking about that here in just a second on the Shadow Docket. Plus, Trump-adjacent con men are bilking his disciples. And yet they keep falling for the big con. We're going to be talking about Trump bucks on the Shadow Docket. Plus, how a panicky headline is self-debunked. This is NBC News marijuana edition of this. God. This is something I used to talk about a lot in the Snowden era in 2013 about how there would be some sort of attention-grabbing clickbait headline. And then when you actually read the story down below where most people don't get to, suddenly the whole thing falls apart. They debunk their own story, so to speak.
This is no accident.
Yes. Plus, maybe a word about the notion of deflation and the fact that MAGA is measuring the drapes. MAGA is getting happy. So we'll talk about all of that coming up on the Shadow Docket, patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. Sign up for $5 a month, and you can keep on listening because we will keep on talking. I know, we're way late now. We've been talking and talking and talking.
I lost track of the time.
I know, me too. We just we are endowed with the gift of gab. There's just a lot of things to cover, and we didn't even cover all of it.
Many things.
Okay, we'll see you on the Shadow Docket. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.
We're going to keep talking.